Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing fine.
Good.
Let's straighten out a few messy points about vaccines. They haven't quit yet. We told them to forget it, but they're still working on it. But this is a story we're going to talk about today from California. I was telling you, it's a little bit of a disappointment because they're moving down the ladder. It used to be everything had to come nationally, you know, on lockdowns.
Yeah.
But then they said, do it yourself, and all these local tyrants have joined in. Now the local officials are joining in for their own passport to make the people safe, so where they know what events they can go to. And so they want to use the vaccine. Of course, we talked about this, about how vaccine passports work at St. Vincent's Island. You know, you pick and choose who get to be rescued, you know, from any danger. But the county that they're doing this by, the county level, is Orange County, California.
Terrible.
And that used to be considered one of the most conservative counties in the world or the country.
Reagan country.
Yeah. So anyway, they're proposing, you know, a passport. But they're interested in the people, though. I mean, they're not being authoritarian. They think they're humanitarian. It's for safety and for peace of mind.
Yeah.
So the people, when they go out and they see that everybody has a passport, then that'll be that's a reassurance that things are okay and they'll feel better about it. And you just have to sacrifice a little liberty now and then. And you do that until you lose it all, and then it's a little bit too late to do anything.
Yeah.
So this is not a good story. It looks like there's going to be more than one place that they're going to do this, and it sort of is following the steps of the lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, and they're following through with masks and social distance and all. Now it's going to be local, but evidently the local people are still anxious for more power, and that's what they're doing. So people have to be aware that they shouldn't be reassured because, oh, this is just a county, this doesn't mean anything. But you can be sure, if Orange County is doing it, what part of the state are you going to be able to go to, or to which event, without you know, having your own passport on? And then there'll be coordination and all that. But the, you know, it says that Biden's you know, spokesperson said that that they're not interested in doing this. You know, this is too much for them. They want to stay away. But they would like to give some guidance, have their input. And then all of a sudden, these regulations, temporary and to help the people, is nothing more than a facade to look for the day when everybody has the vaccine passport, which is something we should remain concerned about. I don't think the states eventually will be able to resist unless we rally the troops and say, don't do it. You got to really resist at the local level, and the individuals too have to resist as well.
It has to be the red line. You know, this vaccine passport has to be the red line. Let's put up the first clip. This is what we're talking about. We noticed it on Zero Hedge. Clayton Chow, his name is. Mm-hmm. He is the county health director for Orange County, California. He's the one who's pushing this. And this goes with what you're saying a lot, Dr. Paul, is that public health officials, medical doctors like Chow, they should not be involved in public policy. He just, remember early on when was it Fauci who said, gosh, we didn't really think through this whole thing. Or no, it was Gates's wife, Melinda Gates. We really didn't think about the economic impact when we said everything should be locked down. But the same is true with these doctors. They don't know how to set this, but it's a pilot project. They want to put out a digital passport. They want to attach it to your existing smartphone software that tells you when to go get vaccinated, and it'll say whether you have it or not. A huge privacy issue, huge civil liberties issue. Imagine if you want to go into the store and you have to give them your medical information, your medical history, what have you, to a private company. So I think in a way, Dr. Paul, yes, it might be reassuring that Biden says, yeah, we're not going to develop a federal standard right now. I actually worry a little bit more about this pseudo private standard. And as Lawrence Vance, we'll talk about it later, has a great piece in Target Liberty, as he points out, there's no way that private companies would be involved in developing these things if it wasn't for the pressure of state and local authorities and the U.S. So this whole idea, I think it's the worst of all worlds to have this pseudo-private where you've got to show private companies your medical history, probably even worse than the government doing it.
Well, Lawrence made this big point. There's absolutely no need for this. There's no demand. I mean, the statistics that we've been able to show, and you've been able to dig up, shows that the pandemic is probably never was.
Yeah.
And what was there is gone. And yet they're still yelling and screaming, but they're also preparing for the next step. So I think the even though they could get rid of, you know, the mask and the social distancing, they're sort of keeping that and adding on to it. You know,
they don't want to let go.
And it, to me, and I've expressed this before, that their real goal is total control, and that has to be an internal passport. You know, showing papers, but you have to show them your blood in order to show your papers, because they're going to put it into our bodies. And people say, well, yeah, that's just scare tactics. You're scaring the people. Yeah, well, it sometimes comes true that when you're vigilant, you see things happening and they come about. But the American people have to wake up if they don't want to have this. They keep thinking, well, sounds good. Have a little bit of safety. There's some bad people out there. And the bad people, you know, it's like guns. The bad people never get the guns.
Yeah.
You know, the laws don't ban it from the bad people. They ban it from the good people. And this whole idea that it's going to protect us against bad actors, it just isn't true. It just means that they're going to watch us for everything. Ultimately, it's the control of the state, the power of the state, collecting taxes, this sort of thing.
Yeah, and they may say, well, it's not mandatory, of course, but if you have to call 911 and the first responders come out, well, they need to see your vaccine passport. If you want to go to any kind of event, you have to show your passport. But here's another problem. Tomas Aragon, he's a California public health officer. He is also a medical doctor, and he's in on this passport thing, and he's giving a warning to Biden. He said, if federal authorities don't move fast enough with developing guidelines, we will come up with our own technical standards for it. We'll make sure that privacy is protected, he said. And here's how I can see it happening, Dr. Paul, how I can see it developing. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but there's going to be a hodgepodge of pseudo-private vaccine passports around the country. Think about that. You know, this county will have one. Maybe this company will have one. Maybe Whole Foods will force you to take a blood test. And there's going to be a hodgepodge. And there's going to be some massive privacy-destroying event. Maybe they'll blame it on a Russian hack, right? And then the media will play it up. This is the reason why we have to have one federal standard. Do you want your information leaked? Don't you care about your privacy? I really think that that's going to happen, and that's why the media is going to play it, and people are actually going to be sent scurrying, begging the federal government to please give us a vaccine passport. That's how the propaganda works.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to mention, if you have a follow-up point on that, you can, but I want to mention what they're doing in the United Kingdom.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
I think you have a very interesting statistic that we're going to talk about, because UK, if you just look at it, they are very, very aggressive. So they must be having a really bad time over there because the people are going along with it and they're very, very aggressive. But there was a story out there just typical of what happens when they lose their minds. A UK cop breaks down the door, arrests man for violating COVID quarantine rules.
Yeah.
And the way I understand it, is that you have to check in when you come in from another country, and he didn't do it, and he should have been quarantined, and he should have been quarantined in his own house, in a room. So they heard about this, and so but because he didn't check in properly, they had to fine him and arrest him for that. But he wasn't going to let him in, so they had to break the door down. I mean, it was like he was the most vicious criminal ever. So they did that, and he of course resisted, got into a lot of trouble. But the whole thing is they're out of control.
Yeah.
Now I think you have a pretty good argument to refute the silliness, the stupidity of that type of stuff. But we can find some stories like that here in this country too.
The evil really is not even silly anymore. It's evil. This guy faces 10 years in prison because he didn't lock himself in a room for a certain number of weeks. But this and all of the other things that are happening in the UK, and really Boris Johnson is disgusting. His whole administration is disgusting. They really are criminals. But with all of this happening, you'd expect well, the UK is a basket case. The hospitals are full. People are dying in the streets. That's why we have to knock down people's doors and send them to prison. Well, Black, here on Planet Reality, things are a little bit different. Let's take a look at what's going on with COVID in the UK. This is a shocker. Look at it. Daily deaths in the UK, virtually zero. People aren't dying. And the same is true with new cases, virtually zero. But they're still treating their people like slaves, like serfs. And the government is getting away with it. I just wonder, what's it going to take to wake up the people of the UK? Like, I wonder what's going to take to wake up people here in the U.S.
Right. It looks like it's going to take a lot more, you know, so far. But we'll keep plugging away at trying to sort all this out. I want to talk about the vaccine. Okay,
yeah,
what
update,
they're doing.
Yeah,
update on the vaccines. And they're being canceled, which means I think there's three of them now. Denmark just canceled AstraZeneca,
yeah.
Yeah, Genica. And permanently.
Permanently, yeah.
So, and of course, in this country, they've had to hold off on J&J. And it goes, they create this. They have the setting. How many times have we said on this program, and how many times have other people said, you know, this is not the way you practice medicine.
Yeah.
You know, speed, speed, speed. It's a political issue.
Yeah.
We got to have it done. And of course, it's all become a dangerous thing. And then what do? They subsidize tremendously the people willing and able to devise these great vaccines.
Yeah.
And they get them out in the market, and then they have to have distribution of these, and they rush them through, and all of a sudden they have side effects. The big side effect now that catches a lot of attention are the blood clots.
Yeah.
And you can get a blood clot, like having a stroke or a heart attack.
Yeah.
Blood clots. And but they're trying to downplay it. Well, at first they want to suspend it, but now they're banning it in Denmark and Norway.
Yeah.
You know, that they can't use it. So this is it's not a good way to practice medicine. It's an evil way to practice medicine. And it's a stupid way to practice politics.
Yeah.
But it's all done for the good of the people, the safety of the people. The government's responsible to make you safe, secure, healthy, wise, and rich.
Yeah.
And the people say, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Yeah. I'll vote for him, you know. So, but a few are waking up because I think the reality will set in that there is always a payment.
Yeah.
There's always a payment for this, no matter how magic it's supposed to be, and then it doesn't work that way, and how easy to say is, oh, we can afford this, and all of a sudden they'll find out we can't afford it, and that's going to strike us here in the near future, not next week or so, but it'll dawn on everybody that all this nonsense going on with viruses and lockdown and all these things hasn't worked, and the country's bankrupt. We have to do something more structurally and philosophically if we want to clean this mess up.
And, you know, the European Medical Agency I think they reported more than 200 cases of this strange clotting and platelet issue. And I guess it's some kind of a storm. And you actually, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you explained some similar events that you experienced when as a doctor.
I mentioned that one time before, but in OB, after a delivery, sometimes a patient can all of a sudden start clotting their blood throughout their system. And they never understood exactly what's bringing on the clotting, but it uses platelets to clot. So the treatment was always bizarre because they didn't know what to do. The patient was bleeding to death. At the same time, the reason was that she was clotting her blood and consuming the platelets.
Huh.
And I can remember the first time I heard the advice was, well, we have this patient, you know, very, very bad shape. We should give her heparin. Holy man, heparin is supposed to thin your blood.
Uh-huh.
So this has been known. Fortunately, it's not well known. I mean, there's not that many cases. But that's what this reminded me of, that they had this situation where there was some blood clotting and also some bleeding at the same time. And they considered it mysterious that it was happening. But I think that's happened in nature once before, and it's difficult, which means that when you mess around with nature, you might create something that we should have learned our lessons elsewhere, because it's difficult to treat, and of course, there's a lot of complications that we haven't even heard of yet from this, because not all the complications are reported. You know, they have the numbers on how many complications are reported at CDC, but a lot don't ever get reported, and it's hard to deal with it. But it usually gets bad enough that the country then, who's there to protect us, well, we'll have to ban this. Oh, we only gave 17 million shots already, so we have to ban this and not let anybody have it anymore.
You know, the suspension of the Johnson & Johnson shot, and now the banning of the AstraZeneca in, as you say, at least a couple of European countries, it's pretty suspicious, because we've seen the 200, and that's pretty disturbing, but there have been far more adverse reactions reported on the CDC's website from the mRNA vaccines. You're seeing thousands and thousands of adverse reactions from it. So it is a little bit strange why they're only dealing with these two, and I think they're very similar into how they act. AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson are similar types of shots, but they're not doing anything with the mRNA shots that seem to be producing a lot more negative reactions.
Right. You know, the this whole mess that we're facing gets more difficult because we don't challenge the concept that bureaucrats and government politicians and government doctors have a tendency to make things worse and create their own problems. And that's where we are. And it's worldwide. To me, the most amazing thing of all this is how universal this is.
Yeah.
All these mistakes, it wasn't done in a narrow way. And it was for a disease that was very, very serious, but not nearly as deadly as they claimed it was, to get away with this, to lock down a whole country and say that it was that dangerous, that we have to, at times, have to break down in your house and make sure you stayed in your room, as if that would help.
Yeah.
Remember that when they found out that there was more disease to spread in the home than there was out the home, and yet they were saying, stay at home. Maybe you should get put in a nursing home. That'll help you.
Yeah, that'll help. Let Cuomo fix you up. Well, here's a couple of things that are related to that, too. And this is, look at this next clip, which I found. And actually, Karen DeCosta put it up on her Facebook. So thanks, Karen. It got my attention. This is from NPR, which is really national propaganda radio rather than national public radio. So this is their big scare, their new big scare thing, which is that you're going to get COVID after you get vaccinated. She said the NPR said some people who are vaccinated against COVID-19 will still become infected. Well, that gives you a lot of confidence in it, right? That's to be expected, really? I don't think that should be expected, right?
Right.
If you go and get a smallpox vaccine, you expect to get smallpox? Let's leave it up there, please. And that's a good reminder of why it's important to continue being vigilant after your shot. So basically, they're saying that the vaccine, the shot, doesn't do anything. You still have to do everything you did because you could still get sick. So what's the point of doing it? And this is actually fighting back against this scare propaganda is a certain senator that we do know. We know him well. He's been very, very brave lately. And I want to just play a short little clip of him on TV yesterday, where he talked about our favorite doctor, Dr. Fauci. Let's play that clip if we can cue that one up.
Disease. So these, almost everything out there is good news. This is why I so much think Dr. Fauci should be voluntarily removed from TV, because what he says is such a disservice and such fear mongering, and almost all of what he says isn't even matched by the science of his own institute. So really what we need to do is hear from a lot of different experts, and then people need to realize that the risk factors are different depending on your age. You mentioned the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Very, very
So he's saying that Fauci should not be on TV because all he does is scaremonger, and half the stuff he says is refuted by his own agency. And we pointed that out many times, so good for Senator Paul.
Well, it hasn't worked yet. Maybe it's worked a little bit. Showing hypocrisy is a great way to do this, you know, and I guess they're couldn't be anybody more hypocritical than Fauci. Either that, you have to blame it all on stupidity, and I don't know whether we should do that or not, but maybe it's a mixture out there. You know, I had an interesting or a sad story told today, because I was talking to one of my grandchilds, talking about their little one that goes to a private school. The private school was a good school, but they were mask crazy, and they still had to do it, and the options weren't all that great. So she's going to school there, but the little girl was having problems with the school, because she always hated the mask.
Uh-huh.
Just
good
automatic. She hated the mask and didn't do it. But she wore them. She tried to do what her mother said, that we have to try to get over this. And but she would allow her mask, can you believe it? I don't think it's ever happened to a politician. The mask dripped down below her nose. And under these circumstances, one grandchild, it was always the teacher. Every time his mask fell down, the teacher would put it up. And it badgered him. He didn't even want to go to school, and that has not been resolved. But this was a little girl that was doing this, and they told, the teacher didn't say anything. But her colleagues, her other students, would come along and say to her, your mask is on wrong. Put your mask up right.
Jeez.
And just think of that, what they've turned these kids into. Instead of saying, let's go out and play baseball or, you know, do something and play, we're going to tell each other whether how to wear their face mask. And they feel holier than thou to do that. But I have to tell you, the mother gave her pretty good advice. I hope she doesn't get into any trouble. She says, well, the next time they do that, you tell them it's none of your business.
It's so sad, this poor little girl, this poor kid, and so many like it. They're being, talk about bullying. Oh, the big thing is bullying. Well, this is bullying. This is bullying, you know, times 100. And they're creating a whole new generation of good little Nazis who run around tattletaling on each other and reporting people to the state. It's terrible. And then when you have a population, 70 million Americans are under 18, and I think about 100 of them in the entire country have died of or with COVID, however you want to do it. This is for how serious it is, can be for older people, it is simply not a serious disease for people, the granddaughter's
age.
This is
so weird that this would happen, because two little kids can argue and fight and tussle and do things, but that's not what it was at all. It was kids that are almost vicious about it. You do this, and they've been taught to do this,
sick,
and they've been taught to do that by parents and by teachers and by the government. They're more or less, since it's the government that created this monstrosity, they're the agents of the government.
Yeah.
They're the policemen,
yeah,
spying and lecturing other people to what to do, and classmates in grade school. Oh my, what a mess.
It's sick. It's very sickening. I guess we'll move into our last little subtopic, and we'll probably revisit this, but I would categorize this on the cautiously good news category in a way. And this is the announcement yesterday by the Biden administration that they intend to pull every one of our troops out of Afghanistan. Unfortunately, not by the date that we agreed with the Taliban, which is May 1st, but by, shockingly enough, September 11th.
Because how did that happen?
How did that? Maybe they threw a dice or something and came up with that. So on one hand, it's good news that he's finally agreed to pull the troops out. But on the other hand, okay, you have a few months where you're going to have troops in there doing no good and being sitting ducks to be killed, because the Taliban said, hey, if you guys don't follow your own agreement that we made, we're going to start shooting you again. And they haven't. Of course, we haven't had a death now for over a year there. They're going to start shooting again, they say, if you stay here longer than we agreed. So good news and bad news. We know that Colonel McGregor, when he was working for Trump in the last days, came up with a plan to immediately withdraw the troops. And of course, that was shot down by all the deep staters that were around Trump. And Trump, to his discredit, didn't stand up to them and say, take a hike. But cautiously good news.
I know you're cautious, and you painted this as maybe some good news, but I hope you had your fingers crossed. No, I hope so too. But you know, the one thing is they claim what we have in Afghanistan is 2,500. Some people say it's more like 3,500. And when they do the adding up, they have NATO troops over there too.
Yeah.
And then they never talk about how many contractors are up there.
Yeah.
There could, I'll bet, you know, there's 10,000 of these troops when you add up the troops with NATO and everything. And there could be, you know, in some of these other countries, the contractors were more numerous than the other. Some of them were, so it gets pretty ridiculous. They go over there. The military, you know, subject themselves to all the dangers and everything, and they survive. Then they go to work for a contractor.
Yeah, make big
and then,
money.
Then they stay in hotels.
Yeah.
And when you're in the military, that's just the training grounds for some of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a pity. But they think that you know, the the contractors and all, that could take them up to 10,000 troops. And to have them out on 9/11, so often dates, I think, have more meaning.
Yeah.
You know, certain things happen on dates, and they're symbolic for, you know, some of the people that we're not even paying any attention to. But I sure hope so. But there is no reason in the world they couldn't have gone through. I think they were about to have a council meeting and a conference to finish this up. Now, that would have been something worth celebrating. But right now, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I hope that things work out better.
Well, you can almost already imagine the administration spin masters, you know, 9/11, the flags will be out, and we defeated the Taliban because the Taliban attacked us. Wait, hold on. They never attacked us.
Yeah.
But the only thing that gives me a little bit of optimism, Dr. Paul, is because the neocons are wailing and gnashing their teeth over this decision. They were all on board for Biden. They love Biden because they expect him to be a warmonger. And the fact that they're upset is good news. And let's look at a couple of these guys, a couple of these tweets from yesterday. Boo-hoo-hoo, Bill Kristol, he says, it's been a difficult and frustrating war. Not for Bill, he's been in living the life, right, of luxury. But preventing terror attacks from Afghanistan and preventing a Taliban takeover have, I think, been worth it. It continues to be worth it. Why withdraw and risk Kabul falling and all that might follow from that? So we basically have to occupy them for eternity. And here's the next one, Max Boot, a really monstrous neocon. This is the worst kind of argument. The U.S. is abandoning all the girls going to school, all the women in the workforce, et cetera, as if, occupying their country and shooting their people for 18 years is just what the girls in school were begging for, right?
There you go. But you know, they expect to, you know, get these good results by doing this. But the big question is it going to work? I think we should look at this. I will, subconsciously, I would never mention it. And that is that this next year is a test on a lot of things, the foreign policy especially. We don't know where Biden's going to go. But in especially this issue, because you mentioned that the hawks, maybe they're on the ropes, and Biden isn't as hawkish as he thinks he should be. But the test is how powerful is the military-industrial complex?
Yeah.
How powerful is the deep state? What will it be like? Well, we already know that May 1st, a month or two ago, we thought May 1st was a telltale sign of what's going to happen. Now it's going to be 9/11.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But then it's going to be next year. And then if somebody watches it carefully, they can look at the 2,500. Maybe symbolically, they'll take out the 2,500. But we have all these contractors in there, and all the, I mean, we still claim we own Iraq.
Yeah.
And yet we don't
Syria.
Have the one. So I think the next year will determine this and the strength of the hawks. But they definitely, they're pro-current government. And we're pro-independent decision-making by the Afghans.
Yeah.
But no, they're pro-government because they believe they're on our side and they're the good guys, and everybody in the Taliban are evil people. And we've mentioned, and it's a risky thing to point out, they didn't kill anybody this year. They lived up to their promises.
Yeah.
And sometimes we haven't always lived up to our promises. Sometimes we fudge on it too. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to mark this down. Check in 1 year.
Check in a year.
I hope it lasts for a year where we don't have to really get into some in-depth problems to discuss about Afghanistan where the whole thing blew up.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I hate to say this because I'm not implying that Americans are stupid, but they're heavily propagandized. I bet if you asked 100 people whether the Taliban attacked the United States, probably 95% of them would say yes. People just simply don't know. Are the Taliban good guys? Would I want to hang out with them? No, probably not. It's not my flavor. However, the fact is they didn't attack us on 9/11. It was someone else. But Americans are too propagandized. My closing, Dr. Paul, is nothing special. I just want to once again thank our audience, people that have stuck with us and continue to watch us. We want to be able to keep in touch with you. Our numbers continue to rise. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel if you haven't. Check your notifications. A lot of people in the comments say, hey, I was getting notifications and now I don't anymore. We don't know what happened. Maybe it's a glitch. Maybe it's Russian hackers. But check your notifications and make sure they're on. Sign up for, subscribe to the channel, and also go to ronpaulinstitute.org and subscribe to free updates from the Institute as well. That will also help us stay in touch with you. Obviously, when you're subscribed to our channel, we can't communicate with you directly in case, for some reason, something happens to our channel. But if you sign up to subscribe to Ron Paul Institute, then we can keep in touch and let you know what's happening, what's coming up, what do we have planned for the year, where are we going if we keep getting kicked out of places. So thank you, and please don't forget to subscribe.
Very good. And once again, I would like to thank our viewers for tuning in today, and welcome back whenever, as quickly as possible. I want to follow up on something you said, Daniel, about the American people not really knowing what was going on in Afghanistan. But I think that can be applied even more so to Iraq, because we lived through the propaganda and how they got this country ready to go in there. And it took a position of most Americans didn't want to have any part with about it until the point where Saddam Hussein was worse than Hitler, and that not only was he a bad guy, a really bad guy about to bomb this country, but he was the cause of 9/11, and he was harboring people in there from 9/11, the whole thing. And it was all used to propagandize to get people to go to war. And, you know, I see things very similar in a domestic affairs, too, you know, whether it's just ordinary economic intervention or dealing with the welfare state or dealing with a virus. It's always propaganda to build fear. If they did not have the weapon of fear, they can't galvanize the people to go, you know, and do dumb things. But people say, well, we have to have a government. We have to have our trouble. Well, good luck. I think by nature, governments aren't very trustworthy, and that's why they should be very limited. And hopefully you can screen the people where you don't put people in there that won't do a good job. And their whole purpose, and we're seeing it now like never before, and that is where does economic and political truth come from? And, you know, the Marxist effort is that it comes from the party and it comes from the state. They determine what's right and wrong and good and bad. And so if there's too much trust posted on the government, then you're going to listen to this stuff and become fearful, and then the people roll over and sacrifice their liberties. So that's the epidemic we ought to be dealing with, the epidemic of the United States people in the United States, our citizens, willing to sacrifice their liberties for the promises that the government will take care of us, make us safe, secure, and well-educated, and able to take care of ourselves and be prosperous. Well, there's a better way if you're interested in peace and prosperity, and that is by pursuing the cause of liberty. If it's dealing with foreign policy or domestic policy, it should be non-interventionism. The government has no right to intervene in our personal lives, our medical lives, our educational lives, our church lives, and they have no right to intervene in what we do with our lives if we injure or threaten nobody else, if nobody is causing trouble. If you want to do whatever you want that's a risk to yourself, that's one thing. But anything that you do, if it's peaceful, should be legal automatically, because that's part of natural rights. It's your life and it's your liberty, and you should be able to do what you want. That is not complicated. If when the people wake up and decide dependency on the government and having the bureaucracy that we have, where we have hundreds of thousands of federal bureaucrats now carrying guns while denying the guns to the people who are trying to survive, if that doesn't wake people up, I don't know what will. But I do see signs that people are becoming alert to this. The numbers seem unbearing, but I tell you what, I think that we're better off now because people are now understanding how markets work and why non-intervention and a peaceful approach to the world would be much better off than warmongering and threatening people and intimidating people. It doesn't accomplish anything at all. I like the old slogan, anything peaceful. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.